inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking to a member of the Rental Income Podcast community who just bought his first rental property. We're going to go over the whole process from how he decided where to invest, how he identified properties, and talk about the actual property he bought. We'll hear all about it. We'll go over his numbers and see if he made a good investment or not. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Tucker Cummings from Raleigh, North Carolina. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. It can be a real challenge to stay organized and keep track of all your rental income and expenses for tax time. Most people end up with a pile of receipts that you need to sort through and make sense of. I want to let you know about an easier way. It's a software that I use called Rental Hero. It was built specifically for rental property owners. They have a really easy to use web portal, as well as an app where you can easily input all your income and expenses. You can take pictures of receipts and you're done with the paper receipts for good. They have a free 30-day trial. You can try it out. No credit card required. If you don't like it, there's nothing to cancel. Just go to rentaltrial.com. That's rentaltrial, T-R-I-A-L. .com. When I first got the idea that I wanted to start buying rental properties, it seemed like everybody I knew was trying to talk me out of it. They were trying to be helpful, but I think they were giving me bad advice. Did the same thing happen to you?
Yeah. So kind of the first thing that happened, I knew I wanted to get into real estate. And so I was starting to float the idea out there to friends and family and say, yeah, I think I'm going to try this out, investing in real estate. And one of the people who I respect more than anyone is my father-in-law. And I brought the idea up to him and he was just kind of like, oh no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to get into that. We got a brother-in-law who does that. And all he does is spend all of his time in court dealing with tenants and evicting people. And so that kind of threw me for a loop. But, you know, as I kind of just kept thinking through it more, I realized that all the people that were telling me that I shouldn't get into real estate were all the people who have never actually owned real estate themselves. So that's kind of what I started doing a little more research on it. And here I am.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times people are trying to be helpful. They're trying to point you in the right direction. But, you know, if they don't have any experience in real estate, you almost need to discount what they're saying. You know, they really want to help you. They want you to be successful, but you know, I think it's just bad advice. You're almost better off just doing it and surprising them. When you decided, okay, I'm going to do this, talk to me about how you learned or kind of what gave you the knowledge to feel that you were ready to move forward and buy something.
So actually the first thing I thought was, I listen to a lot of podcasts. So when I'm driving to work or working out or whatever it is, and I was thinking, you know, I need to learn about rental income. I'll listen to a podcast about it. So I remember I was thinking, I got to find someone. So I literally typed into, the iTunes podcast, Rental Income Podcast. I was going to see what came up. And then sure enough, your podcast came up. And so I was listening to several episodes. I think I listened to every episode you put out twice. And I would listen to them on 1.5 speed so I could just get them in even quicker. And I'd write down little notes for myself. And then after a while, I thought, okay, I think I've got all the tools I need. I know what I'm going to go look for. And so I started connecting with agents. And then as I was connecting with agents, I realized that you know, they would ask me questions about what I was looking for, and I didn't even know how to really answer the questions. And it was one of those things, like, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So it was at that point I decided I was going to try and look for somebody who could almost act as like a mentor role to me. And that's actually where, as I was listening through your podcast, I remember an episode that you had with Christopher Cucciera, mm-hmm. who lives in North Carolina, and I live in North Carolina. And so I thought, okay, here's a guy who's in my region. Let me reach out to this guy and, you know, see if he can give me some tips and tricks. And so sure enough, Chris and I connected. And over the course of several months, he shared several spreadsheets with me that he uses to analyze deals. He taught me little tricks of how you could analyze a property without actually seeing it in person until you're ready to see it in person, and just several other things. And so was going through that. And one of the biggest tips that he gave me was to get connected to my local real estate investment group. And so I joined that. And that's where I met a fantastic property manager who has helped me even more every step along the way. Once I was equipped with information from Chris and my property manager that I'm using now, I was able to go back to the real estate agents, give them a little bit more fine criteria of what I was looking for. And within about 2 months of actually starting the search, was able to land my first property.
I love it. That is great. Well, Chris is a great guy that you really picked a great person to reach out to. Now, you ended up buying in a place that's about an hour away from where you live. So mm-hmm. did you find a RIA club in that area where you purchased in, or was it a club closer to where you live?
So the really great thing was that, so I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And where I bought is Fayetteville, North Carolina. A lot of people might be familiar with Fort Bragg down there. And in the, we call it the Triangle Real Estate Investment Association, TRIA. Inside of that group, there are several other groups that branch out of it. And one of those is the Fayetteville Real Estate Group. So by joining the Triangle Real Estate Group, I also joined the Fayetteville Perfect. Real Estate Group as kind of like a value add yeah. add-on.
And the reason you were looking at Fayetteville was it just because of the price, that it's a lower price point than you're going to find in Raleigh?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the factors. Raleigh is just a very quickly growing, aggressive, competitive market. And for where I'm at, I just feel like I couldn't be competitive in this okay. market just starting out. So I looked at Fayetteville because it was definitely cheaper. There's not as many people moving there, at least moving there to stay. But what there is a lot of is a lot of soldiers and families who are coming through, staying at Fort Bragg. They come into the area for a little while, rent out while they're stationed there, and then they might move away. So there's a lot of rental opportunity there. And another reason why I came across Fayetteville was I literally just zoomed out on Zillow for the state of North Carolina. And I looked to see, you know, where there might be a big cluster of rentals. And sure enough, there was just this big purple dot over Fayetteville. And I just thought that's a place maybe I need to go check okay. that out.
So Fayetteville is a small town, but it's still a big area. And I'm sure that there is good parts of town and there's bad parts of town. There's maybe areas that make better rentals than other areas. Did you figure that out on your own, or did you figure that out from talking to other investors in town and talking to your property manager and your realtor?
Talking to my realtor, he definitely, what he would do, because I couldn't go down there all the time to see the properties, and especially as quickly as properties come and go, we need to be able to act on them quickly. So what he would do is he would FaceTime me in, and he would show me the house, show me the neighborhood, so I could kind of get a feel for what was going on there. And then another trick I would do is I could go on Google Maps and kind of roam through the streets to see, you know, if there's, you know, people parking on the grass, hanging outside houses, what's kind of the mood mm-hmm. of the neighborhood, okay. Things like that. Kind of helped me scope out what the better parts of town were. And then also I was able to just kind of go on, again, go on Zillow, look at what properties sold for, and then also compare those to what the rents were in certain areas. And so I found that this particular area that I bought in, it seemed like the rents were had a much higher ratio for what people bought them for.
So did you ever physically go to Fayetteville, or was it all doing research online?
I went to Fayetteville when we closed, and then I saw my property for the first time after we closed.
Well done. All right. So were you happy? You know, we're going to jump ahead here for a second, but were you happy with the property? Did it look like you thought it was going to look after seeing it online and doing a FaceTime tour?
Oh yeah. I was, nothing jumped out at me that caught me off guard. I was over the moon about it. I was so excited to have finally done this. And, when we actually got to the property, you know, everything checked out. Like I said, my agent, he FaceTimed me in. We had the inspection report with all the pictures in it. So there was nothing that caught me off guard at all.
Okay, just great.
Very excited to finally get it done.
So how many properties did you look at before you actually found the one you ended up buying?
Several dozen.
Okay. Did you make any other offers?
We made an offer on, I think we made an offer on two or three other homes, which I'm glad that those actually didn't go through, because then when this one popped on the market, I was like, oh man, this is the one. I feel it in my bones that this is a good one. So we hopped on it, made our offer, and got it.
So what were you looking for? Like, did you want to do the Burr strategy, or were you looking for a property that was ready to go?
For this one, I was looking for something that was more ready to go.
Okay.
Listening to your podcast, you hear over and over about the Burr strategy.
Yeah.
For me, I felt like that was, as I'm just getting started, I could build up a great amount of equity and still have, you know, just as high of rent and all that. But I felt like for me, it was biting off more than I can chew. And
sure.
I was starting to get that analysis paralysis. And I thought, you know what, you need to make this as simple as possible and just jump in to it. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Just get into it.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because, you know, the Burr strategy does sound very sexy, that you're buying these properties way below market value. You're fixing it up. You've just created all this equity. I mean, it sounds exciting. But the truth is, I mean, you can find properties that are pretty close to ready to go in a lot of areas on the MLS, and you can close and you can rent them out right away. So it doesn't have to be hard, and it sounds like that's what you did. I mean, so when you found the property, did it need any work at all, or was it ready to rent out from the time you closed on it?
It was pretty much it was pretty much ready to go. I mean, there were some minor touch-ups that needed to happen. We needed to put a vapor barrier in the crawl space underneath the house, but other than that, I mean, it was pretty much ready to go. And okay. That's what really attracted me to it.
How did you find it? Did your agent send it to you, or did you find it on Zillow?
My agent sent it to me.
Okay.
So he, you know, typical thing, he sends the list of them, and here's the new ones, here's the reduced ones every day, and that one popped on the market.
Okay.
I went through, did my analysis of the property, and I thought this is a really good deal. I need to go on this one.
Did he have you on like an automated search where it's searching the MLS?
Mm-hmm. He did.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So you get the property, or you get the listing every morning, you look at it, the numbers looked good. What were you looking for? Like when you were doing your analysis, like what were you analyzing?
So I really wanted, it was single family homes, three bedroom, two bath, ready to go. And I was looking for at least $250 a month in cash flow.
Okay.
is what I was looking for. Right now for me, I mean, what I'd like to do is be able to get to a point where I can allow my wife to retire from her job based off of income from the rental properties. And so I felt like the quickest way to do that was to get that that passive cash flow.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the numbers. So what was the property listed for?
It was listed for $99,900.
Okay. And did you come in at $99,900 or were you able to come in a little bit lower?
We did. Based off of the other offers that we made on other properties, my agent recommended, because Fayetteville is also a competitive market, mm-hmm. he recommended that we should probably go in at full price.
Okay.
That's what we did. We went in at full price, asked that the sellers cover the closing costs, which they accepted. And then later on, when we went through the inspection report and showed them the list of things that needed to be done, again, nothing major, but just minor cosmetic stuff, they also gave us $3,000 towards those minor fixes as well.
Okay, awesome. And then what were you hoping the property was going to rent for?
I was hoping that it would at least rent for $1,000.
Okay. And what did you end up getting for it?
So it is now renting for $1,250.
Well done. That's awesome. So, but that's a pretty big spread. So how did you end up getting more than you were hoping for?
Honestly, it was just listening to my property manager. I told her, and you know, that's a big thing about this is just having the right people around you. But
yeah.
She's very skilled and she's very good at what she does. And I told her, I was like, you know, I'm looking for at least $1,000. Obviously, if I get anything more than that, that's what I'm looking for. And she was like, okay, I think we can get $1,250 for this. And I was honestly reluctant. I didn't want to be too greedy and then have the property sitting out there for a while. But I trusted her and she put out for $1,250. And within about 5 days, we got somebody who was able to move in.
See, I love hearing that. That really shows you the value of a good property manager, because if you had rented this out on your own, you had thrown it up on Zillow or Craigslist and you'd found your own renter, you probably would have listed it for $1,000, right?
Oh yeah, I'd be missing out.
Yeah, so it's almost like you're getting free property management right now because you're listing it for $1,250 after, or you're renting it for $1,250 after you pay her fee. You're still getting more money than you would have gotten on your own. I think that's great. All right, so now you rented it pretty quickly. Did you have a lot of people that were looking at it when you had it, when the property manager listed it?
I mean, she was giving me updates, you know, pretty much daily as to what was going on. And I do remember that there were quite a few applications, but I was pretty hands off
okay.
in that process.
Okay. And what's your mortgage payment?
So the mortgage payment is $533.
Okay. And that's putting down 20%?
Yep. Conventional okay. 20% loan.
Okay.
To a $533 a month mortgage.
Okay. So the property, you bought it for 99, you put down 20 grand. So that's 20% plus some closing costs. So how much did you actually come to closing with?
I want to say that it was right around 21,000.
Okay.
Again, we had the sellers cover most of the closing costs.
Okay.
So we didn't have to come to closing with too much extra.
Okay.
Change.
So, all right. So you get your $1,250, and then how much does the property manager take out for their fee?
She's taking 10%.
10%. Okay. All right. So then when you said you want to make $250 a month cash flow, then you're setting aside money every month for future repairs or CapEx?
Yes. I sure am. Pretty much everything I'm making from the property. You know, I've talked it over with my wife, like we're not increasing our lifestyle or anything like that. The
okay.
money that comes from the rental property, we're just setting aside to buy more houses or to, yeah, you know, if something major comes up, then we're ready.
Yeah, for that. That's the way to do it. That's smart. Yeah, definitely. You want to be prepared for anything that's going to come up in the future. And then also having that cash there to use as the down payment for the next property is a great way to grow. Now, were there any hiccups that came up along the way when you were buying the place? Or, I mean, it sounds like everything was pretty smooth. Did anything crazy come up?
I wouldn't say anything crazy came up. The only thing that did happen was, you know, I was working with a lender who was, maybe we could say, was you know, less than optimal. And it looks at one point they had overlooked a document that we had sent in, and because they overlooked that document, it ended up pushing out our closing date by about 3 weeks, because then we started running into some holidays and such. Yeah. So that was really the only hiccup, you know.
Okay.
I would have loved to have the property before Thanksgiving, but we ended up closing on it. We ended up closing on it December 16th.
Okay. All right. So it's been a few months now, and is everything going smooth? Like, have you had any issues, or is everything gone according to plan?
No issues at all so far. Everything,
I love it.
Everything's going even better than what I'd hoped. Like I said, I'm making about $250 to $350 more in cash flow. So I'm sitting nice right now.
That is great. So after this experience, and I'm sure you're probably feeling confident, have you thought about when you're going to be ready to buy number two?
Oh yeah. We'll be moving on number two as soon as we possibly can. The thing we're doing right now is we are putting a little bit of a hold on that because we're doing some remodeling to our own primary residence. Like I said, Raleigh is just because there's so much traffic coming into the area and it's so competitive, it's really boosted up the value of our home and the neighborhood. So we're able to kind of do some repairs to our house and do like a live and burr type thing. So we're going to end up making those repairs, do a cash out refinance, and walk away with some change in our pocket, and then use that towards our next property.
If you want to reach out to Tucker, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 253. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether it's your very first property or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. What I love about Chaley is that she's an investor herself. She can really help you make sure that you're getting into the right properties, make sure you've got the right financing set up. If you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley, she'd be happy to get on a phone call with you. Just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all of the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. If you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.